Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalayim, Malik, and Daf Yudal. We are starting Yud Gimel Beis at the bottom with Halacha Beis. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mimsar Bas Biakam Moshe, Hernish, Amos should have an Elias. Mishnah says, Elu Machabsin Mimoyd, following people allowed to launder their clothing on Chalmoyd. Hamam Din Sayam, Beis Ashivya, Vayetsum Beis Asurim, Vamanudish, Tilacham, Chemisha Shalchacham Hutar. We had all these in the previous Mishnah. So when he came from overseas, he was only able to wash his clothing then, or he was released from captivity, or he came out of jail, or he was a Nidui, he was in excommunication, they were matter for him on Chalmoyd, or he had made a nether that he wasn't going to launder his clothing, and he only got released from it on Chalmoyd. All these people are allowed to launder their clothing on Chol Moed. Here's things that are allowed to be laundered: mitpachas hayadayim, hand towels, umitpachas hasaparim, and the towels used by barbers, umitpachas hasfag, and towels that are used for soaking up a lot of water. Sfag is like sfag, sponge, is what they would use when they came out of the bathhouse to soap up a lot of water. That's what we would call a bath towel or a shower towel. And all these, since they get dirty very quickly, so they're allowed to be laundered on Chol Moed, even by regular people. Also, v'chala oil mitumot tahara, somebody who's going from tumot tahara, for example, a person who's a mitzayra or he was tamei meis, the Torah says that when he becomes tahar, he has to launder his clothing, so he's allowed to do that on Chol Moed. All these are real mutar, they're mutar, or shar kol adam, asurin, but all other people, they're not allowed to launder their clothing. Says the Gemara, Tani, we have a braisa, balanari nashim, mutal chabsar maid. These balanarim of women are allowed to be laundered on Chol Moed. It's something they would wear in the balan in the bathhouse. It's some sort of sheet of sorts that they would wrap themselves in, so that's also allowed to be laundered on Chol Moed. And that's also similar to the bath towel that we mentioned in the Mishnah. That's because they're getting dirty all the time, so of course they're allowed to be laundered. Yudal Omar Alf on top, clarification of this, he balanari nashim, he balanari anashim. This is both these sheets, they're both women and men were in the bathhouse, they're allowed to be laundered. Now we just explained, Mal Balanari Nashim, what exactly are these things? Sharbon de Kisar and Armory, they explain, Intinaya, it's these Intinaya, which back then they obviously know what it was, but we don't use these Intinaya nowadays. Gemar continues, Ravos of Shem Riachron, Misha Ainle El Chalak Echod, a person only has one garment, Motel Chabsa Maid, so he's allowed to launder on Chalmaid. Because the same thing, gets dirty all the time, and he doesn't have to wear dirty clothing on Chalmaid, so he's allowed to launder it. And Armory Sharbon, he adds on to this, Ubul Chod Turei, somebody only has two, he also could launder one. Why is that? Dehe Shalachad Velavashchad. He sends one, meaning he cleans one and he wears one. In other words, it doesn't have to be that he only has one garment and that he has to hide under his blanket while he's laundering that one garment which is dirty. It could even be he just has two garments. That means he has one spare one, so he can launder that one while he's wearing the other one to make sure that he always has something clean for Chol Moed. Now, Bon Kum Rabbi Yosef asked him from Rabbi Yosef, Big Day Ketan Imahein, what about clothing of little kids? Are those allowed to be laundered? The kid has a lot of clothing. He has a drawer and closet full of stuff to wear. However, he does get them dirty all the time, so is it permitted to launder them Chol Moed? So when he answered them, it's like a person who only has one chaluk. Just like the person who mentioned who only has one garment, of course he's allowed to launder on Chol Moed because it gets dirty. Same thing with the kids. Even though they have a lot of clothing, they get dirty all the time, so you can wash them on Chol Moed. Now, Bon Kumet asked him another question. Tanya, we have a Mishnah in regards to Avelos on Chol Moed. In Kairin, one is not allowed to tear Kriya, like Chaltzin. One's not allowed to remove the garment. There's some practice they had, which was bearing the shoulder and arm when there was a mace, Vlai Mavrin, and no eating the Sudas Havara, which is the first Suda that Avelim used to eat after the Kvura. Ella, Krevishal Mace. Only the Krevim, the relative of the mace, are allowed to do this on Chol Moed. Let's say the person's house is very small, given by Meil Gabe, and the relatives want to come inside, but there's not enough room for them. Are half allowed to sit inside and half allowed to sit outside? So Amalani told them, no. Half should go inside today, and the other half should go inside tomorrow, but they shouldn't make a big suda where half are inside, half are outside, because then that looks like a suda smireim, like a suda everyone's getting together, and it's kishmak, and that's not proper. Now, Amar Rav Mana commented, the one whom we thought would be Mekel, he turns out to be Machmir, because Rabbi Yosef says Mekel before when it comes to laundering clothing, so they thought he'd be Mekel over here. Turns out he was Machmir. And one last memra, Tani, we have Braisa, Mitchvah Saparim, these towels used by barbers, according to something the Gir says, Mitchvah Sefarim, these are cloths that are used to cover Sefarim. The main halacha was as follows, Ein Mechab Sanasun Bemei Raglayim, no laundering them in urine, that's a very strong, solid way to launder them. Avol Mechab Sanasun Benesser Ubiris, one is allowed to launder them with Nesser and Biris, which are certain types of cleaning agents and detergents. And why is one not allowed to use Meiraglayim? Bnei HaKavod, because it's not proper Kavod. Now we want to mention Gimel, another halacha, ve'elu kaisvin b'mayid. The following things are allowed to be written on Chol Moed. Kiddushin nashim v'gitin, kiddushin of a woman, or her get, v'shayvrin, and receipts, daitiki. There's a shtad that's written when a person gives away a gift on his deathbed, umatana, also regular gifts, uprizbalin, a prizbalin document written to ensure that a person's loan that he gave out is not cancelled by Shemitah, igros shom, letters of valuation, v'igros mazayin, letters of food, shtari chalitzu miyunin, a shtar of chalitz and miyun, ushtar beruin, and a shtar of clarification, ugzeris bezdin, and a psak bezdin, v'igros shalashos, and letters of rishos. First we ask about a get. Why is that allowed to be written in a Chol Moed? V'ene meitzar, does not cause him pain and distress that he has to write a get? So Rav Zaira explains, no, mikim shenos and dati legarish, since he decided already that he wants to divorce his wife, ene meitzar, it doesn't cause him distress. Adarabah, it's actually better. Once he writes it, it's a load off of his head. He doesn't have to think about it anymore, so that's allowed to be written in a Chol Moed. Another explanation, we said, v'shevim receipts. What is this? Amay loigim. This is a term they use to describe when a borrower paid back the lender, so he got a shiver, a receipt that he paid back. And the reason why this is allowed be written is because we might not be able to write it afterwards. Maybe someone's going to leave. Maybe we're not going to have the Edim or the Sefer. Someone's not going to be available. So it's not going to be done even on Chol Moed. Egor Shum said the Mishnah, what is this? Shum HaYusayimim. This is an evaluation for the Yusayimim. This is when Bezin evaluates the property of the Yusayimim to tell the Baal Chayv, somebody whom their father owed money to, how much he's allowed to collect. So that's allowed to be written down on Chol Moed. Egor is Mazayin. What's this? Mizaynis Almana. This is a document the Bezin would write for the Almana, for the widow, that she would be able to present to the Yusayimim about how much money she's able to collect for her Mizaynis, for her food, for her sustenance. So our Chalitza said the Mishnah. Now we know the Chalitza is when we have two brothers, let's say Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven dies without children. So Shimon has a mitzvah of Yibum to marry Reuven's Almana. If that's not desired, so then Chalitza is performed, which severs the connection between the two. And so after the Chalitza is done, they would write a shtar attesting to the fact that it was carried out. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Eluin shtar Chalitza. What are shtar Chalitza? So Taman Armin over there, they said that this is what's written down. Dekarvas Kadmina, she came in front of us, and they write her name, obviously. Vishara Sine Mi'ilai Rigle Dimina, and she removed the shoe from his right foot. That's what Chalitza is. She takes the shoe off. That's Lashon Chalitz to remove. Virakas Kadmina, Roikat Mischazi Al Ara, and she spat in front of us, spittle or saliva that's able to be seen on the ground. Va'amiris, and she said as follows, Kacha Yasalish, Asher Lo Yivnes Beis Achiv, so shall be done to the man that doesn't rebuild the house of his brother. That's Lashon of the Pasuk, and that's what's written down in the Shtar. The next one in the Mishnah was a Shtar Miyunin, a Shtar of Miyun. This is when a mother or brother of a girl under 12 marries her off. That's because she doesn't have a father. I would want her to be hefker in the streets and be taken advantage of. So the Chazal say that her mother and brother are allowed to marry her off. Now she's allowed to do Miyun, which means refuse. She can walk out of the marriage whenever she wants. That's up until 12 years old. And so we're going to write a document attesting to that as well. And so the Gemara clarifies, Eluhain Shtar Miyunin, what is a Shtar Miyun? What does it say on it? So we write as follows, that she said, Loi Rayonale, I don't want him. Loi Shavyonale, he's not desirable to me. Loi Tzavinal and Suvale, I don't want to marry him. The Mishnah then said, Ushtar Biruin, what is this? Yudaron Bez on top. Reb Yechon Amar, he says, Kompromisen, which is like the word we have, compromise. This is when they compromise in the Din Torah. So they write that down. What type of compromise is this? Says the Gemara, Zebar Loi Echad, Zebar Loi Echad. Each one chooses a dayan for himself, and those two dayanim choose a third. So that's this compromise that we're referring to. That's able to be written down. Then the Mishnah says, Gzeres Bezdin, what is this? Elu Gizrei Dinin. These are Gzar Dinim, which means when Bezdin paskins and they come out with the final psak. So that's going to be written down. That's a lot to be written down. Chol Moed. And lastly, the Igra Shel Rishos, what's this? Zush Elas Shalom. This is inquiring of someone's welfare, which is basically just a regular letter. You write a letter to a friend, a relative, somebody who lives some distance away, so you can't go and see him. You're going to write a letter to him expressing feelings of Shalom. How are you? How's everything? Everything's great over here. We're fantastic. Send regards to the people on that side of the world. And that's allowed to be written on Chol Moed. And moving on to Allah Chadal, the Mishnah tells us things that we're not allowed to write. Ain Kais Ben Shtar Chai B'Maid. No writing Shtar Chai on Chol Moed. Reuven lent Shimon money. No writing that down. However, Ma'inim Amino, if he doesn't trust him, Ailam Ayecha doesn't have what to eat. How is a Yechtav? Then it could be written. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Who's not trusting whom and who doesn't have what to eat. Furthermore, Ain Kais Ben Svarim Tefillin Mezuzah B'Maid. No writing Sefer Torah Tefillin or Mezuzah Chol Moed. And Ve'ain Magin Oisachas Afil B'Sefer Azara. No being even Magia. No fixing up even one letter in a Sefer Torah, and that's even if it's in the Sefer Torah in the Azara, it was the most correct Sefer Torah, is the one they used to check based off of. No fixing a letter, even in that Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yudamir argues and says, Kaisavu Adam Tefillin Mezuzah La'atzmai, a person could write Tefillin Mezuzah for himself, and actually based off of the Gersa, we're going to see a little bit in the Gemara, the proper Gersa in the Mishnah should be, V'toiva al Yurechot Tchilas Tzitzisai, he's allowed to spin the thread of Tchilas for his Tzitzis on his thigh. This is doing it by way of a Shinoi, but he's still allowed to make that Tchilas thread on Chol Moed. Says the Gemara, Enkas and Shtari are Sias with Kablanus B'Maid. No writing Shtaris of a Rhesus or Kablanus of Chol Moed. These are two different ways of contracting a field. Reuven owned the field. Shim was going to come and work. So he could either be an Aris, he receives a certain percentage, or it can be a Kablan, he's going to receive a certain amount. Those are not allowed to be written down on Chol Moed. That's not considered a Davar Aved. If one of them ends up backing out, the worker can always find somebody else. So that's not allowed to be written down. Something similar, let's say there was a discussion of work, and now they need to evaluate, they need to estimate or appraise something. So the Gemara says, Hashem, Shem Kedarkai, one who's evaluating, he's estimating, he's appraising something, that can be done like normal. As long as he doesn't measure land, and he doesn't weigh the product, if that's what they're discussing, and he doesn't count specific numbers, besides for that, an evaluation is allowed to be done like normal. Also, one's allowed to contract a job on Chol Moed, as long as he's going to be actually doing the job after Chol Moed, but one is allowed to contract a job on Chol Moed to do it on Chol Moed. And also, says the Braisa, Hashem, Shem Kedarkai, if he's evaluating and appraising, he can do like regular, as long as he doesn't measure, weigh, or count. Now clarifying the Mishnah that had said that we're not allowed to write a shtar chayv on Chol Moed. Reuven's lending money to Shimon, he's not allowed to write that down. Only me'enim aminoi or ein loy ma'yoychal. So Amr Yirmiyah, he clarifies, me'enim aminoi, what does that mean? L'loivet, to the borrower, meaning Reuven doesn't trust Shimon that he's going to pay him back afterwards, or that he's going to agree to come back after Chol Moed to write down what he had lent him on Chol Moed. So therefore, the mouth of the lender is allowed to have a shtar written. And then when the Mishnah said, oish ein loy ma'yoychal, what's that referring to? L'lavlar, the scribe, the cipher, he's the one that's writing a shtar. shtar if he's poor and doesn't have what to eat. So then they'll have the shtar written so that he could have food. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Shabrizi asked him, if that's what you're going to say, Nimsei Samatir So Umnis Maid, it turns out that you're being matir craft on Chol Maid, because basically anybody who needs a shtar written, even Lachatchil, that shtar is not allowed to be written, they're going to say, what do you mean? But the Lavla, the scribe, the cipher, he doesn't have any food, so I'm having him write it for me so he could have food. And that's undermining his whole din. Al Razar Shabrizi, if he doesn't trust him, what does that mean? Lamilva Shaavra, regarding a past loan. In other words, when it says, that's referring to money that he had already lent him. Reuven already gave money to Shimon, but he doesn't trust that he's going to pay it back or that he's going to be maskim to write it down at a later date. So therefore, it's allowed to be written down now in Chol Moed. What does this mean? Lemilva haba, for the upcoming halva, which means Shimon comes to Reuven and says, I need money. I need what to eat on Chol Moed. And so no money was given yet, but Reuven doesn't 100% trust Shimon. Therefore, it's allowed to be written down. So according to Rabbi Yossi, these two lines in the Mishnah are both talking about Reuven not trusting Shimon, but one's after he already lent him money, one's before he lent him money. Now to the next end of the Mishnah, we're going to writing tefillin and mezuzahs. Chad bar Nashu is a fellow, Ovid tefillin yomayda, he lost his tefillin on Chol Moed. Also Gabi Ruch Hananel came from Ruch Hananel, who's a cipher. We actually have many halachas safers from Ruch Hananel in the Gemara. V'shalchil Gabi Rav Ab bar Nasan, he sent him to Rav Ab bar Nasan. Amrulay, so he told him, Havlei tefillach, you should give him your tefillin, Ruch Hananel, v'zilk soiv lach, and then you go write for yourself, because that's what we said in the Mishnah. A person could write tefillin for himself. So Ruch Hananel, what you should do is you should give him your tefillin. Now you don't have tefillin, so you could write tefillin for yourself. But then Amrulay Rav told Ruch Hananel, Ezilk soiv lach, you can go and write for him, no problem. However, Masisa Pligal Rav, Armish is clearly not like Rav. What does it say? Kaisev who Adam Tefillin Mezuzal Atzmai, that a person could write Tefillin Mezuzal for himself. Mashma, Hala Acher, Loi, the writing for somebody else is not allowed. The Gemara answers, possibly we could explain, but Kaisev Laniach, that's referring to when he's writing just to leave it. Meaning if a cipher wants to write Tefillin, just have an extra pair around Laniach, so he should have a backup, so then he's only allowed to write it if he's doing it for himself, but not for somebody else. However, if somebody else needs Tefillin on Chalamayid, then he's allowed to even write it for that other person, not just for himself. Now, in the last of the Mishnah, the person is allowed to spin the thread of tcheles on his thigh for his tzitzis. Rabbi Yehuda says b'shem Shmuel, and Rav Osa says b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Toivav afil bepelech. He's allowed to spin this thread even with a pelech, which is a spindle. That's a proper tool that's meant for spinning the thread. He's allowed to even do that in Chol Moed. Now, Rav Amar, he says toivav bepelech bein loy bein laacher. He's allowed to use a spindle to spin the thread for tcheles, not only for himself but even for somebody else. Says the Gemara, Masisa Pligal Rav. Our Mishnah is not like Rav. What does it tell us? Toivav yirecha tcheles tzitzisoy. That he's only allowed to do for his tzitzis, not for somebody else. Answers the Gemara like we just did before. That can be explained where he's spinning the thread of tcheles, where he doesn't need it right now. He's just saving it for a rainy day, so then he's only allowed to do it for himself. But if somebody else needs it now, he's even allowed to do it for somebody else. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with halacha. Hey, going on to discuss Hilchas Avelos. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.